Welcome.
Welcome to the Medal of Honor podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany Marchink. Join me as we take a deep dive into the extraordinary stories of those who embody strength, courage, perseverance, and even that grit to keep moving forward. Here, I explore the human spirit and share firsthand accounts of valor and resilience. Tune in to these engaging conversations to gain a profound appreciation for the metal that resides within our heroes and remarkable journeys of personal growth. Let's tune in.
Major General Greg F. Martin is a 36-year Army combat veteran and a retired two-star general. Major General Martin graduated from the United States Military Academy, USMA, at West Point, followed by the Engineer Officer Basic Course in 1979. Along with many fellow classmates, he volunteered for the U.S. Army Ranger School, which is renowned as the toughest, most challenging leadership school in the Army, if not the entire U.S. military. Upon graduation from the U.S. Army Ranger School, he served as an Army Engineer Officer. He is a qualified airborne ranger and strategist, who has commanded soldiers both in and out of combat. Martin is also a graduate of MIT, and both the Army and Naval War Colleges. Major General Greg F. Martin's last assignment was as the 14th National Defense University, NDU, president.
I'll just back up a little bit further. So I was really fortunate, achieved a lot of big things in my life. I graduated from West Point Army Ranger School, two masters and a PhD from MIT, ran seven marathons under 3 hours each, married for 40 years, three terrific sons, grandson, and all in a very successful Army career, going from second lieutenant to two-star general. So lots of success. But what I didn't know is that I had all those years a bipolar brain, which means that early on, my brain was producing excess dopamine and giving me extra energy, drive, enthusiasm, optimism, problem-solving abilities. But that's called hyperthymia. And it inched up year after year for literally decades until the Iraq onset of bipolar disorder. And that was determined by the VA and the Army Medical Department. So in Iraq, I went into mania, but it was a high performing mania that wasn't all that high. And it actually continued to enhance my performance. So I did really well in combat. But over the next 12 years, my mania started swinging higher and higher. My depression started going lower and lower. I developed psychosis, which was really crippling. And by the time you hit 2014, which is when I worked for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and I was the president of National Defense University, I went into what they call full-blown mania, where I truly lost my mind and went way over the top, extremely disruptive, and it was hurting the university and the mission. It was so bad that General Dempsey did an investigation, and he made the decision to remove me from command. And it was in July of 2014 where he summoned me to his office and said, "Greg, I love you like a brother." Gave me a big hug. He said, "I give you an A+ for your job performance, but your time at NDU is over. You have until 5 p.m. today to submit your resignation or I will fire you. And in addition, I'm ordering you to go get a psychiatric evaluation at Walter Reed as soon as possible." So, I mean, that was the story. I did go and get 3 psych evals at Walter Reed that same month, and all 3 of them gave me a clean bill of health and said fit for duty, but they were wrong.
Welcome.
Accessing.
You mentioned 2 different things. One, you talked about how your brain was overproducing dopamine. Now, for people who work out, they are probably saying, well, that's a good thing, right? Because your body needs that dopamine to keep on moving forward. So why is that a problem if your brain is overproducing it? The other thing that you mentioned was psychosis. You had that period where you were experiencing psychosis. What is that exactly? What does that mean?
So this idea of hyperthymia, it's a near continual state of mild mania where my brain is producing and distributing excess amounts of dopamine, which is a plus. It's a good thing. It helps me. It enhanced my performance and boosted me and was a significant factor in my success as an Army leader. So that's good until it goes into real mania, which happened to me in 2003 during the Iraq War, and my genetic predisposition for bipolar was triggered by the intense stress, euphoria, and thrill of the war. And then the, you know, the injections and the flooding of dopamine in my brain set me out of control and was a bad, dangerous thing that ultimately brought me down. And of course, you know, what goes up must come down. So after I went way up into acute mania, then I crashed into severe hopeless depression accompanied by psychosis. And what psychosis is, it happens inside the brain. About half of those with bipolar disorder come down with psychosis. And it's 2 things make up psychosis. A delusion or hallucination. A delusion is when you fervently believe that something is true, but it's demonstrably false. So you believe this thing to be true, but it's not true. And even if people can prove to you that it's not true, you still believe it. A hallucination is different. A hallucination is seeing, hearing, and feeling things that are not really there. So you see things and believe you're seeing it. You feel things that really aren't there. You hear things that and see and hear things that aren't there. So that's what a hallucination is. And I can give you examples of both of them in my case. And they were really, some of them were really pleasurable and others of them were terrifying.
So I want to make sure I'm following this correctly. A hallucination is when I'm seeing or hearing something that does not actually exist. Whereas a delusion is something where I believe that something is occurring or happening, but it's actually not. And there's nothing that you can say or do to convince me otherwise.
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
You mentioned that in a combat situation, the mania actually worked in your favor. Because it had you going and pushing and moving forward and being that hard charger, that Superman. Now that you're out of the military and you have it pretty well managed, do you see times that having that those mania experiences could be beneficial to you or maybe even work in your favor?
Yeah. So the question was, are there situations outside the military where excess dopamine is beneficial? Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you know that the Medal of Honor podcast offers you, the listener, an interactive experience? It does. If you listen to this podcast on Spotify, you will have the opportunity to answer questions after listening to the episode.
There are some episodes that will have a question on it. Other episodes may have a poll. Either way, it gives you an opportunity to engage with other listeners, with me as the host, as well as with the guest on that particular episode. So remember, at the end of this episode, go check out the question and the poll, because this episode has both.
Okay, so 7 years ago, I was hospitalized, and then shortly thereafter, I was prescribed lithium, which is a very good medication for bipolar disorder. And the lithium was like a silver bullet for me. It basically, my severe depression pretty much vanished, and my hallucinations pretty much went away. And then since then, you know, beginning 7 years ago, the lithium has built a floor underneath in my brain, so I can't fall into depression anymore. It lifts me up. And then it's put a roof above my head, so I can't go shooting into mania. So it keeps me on an even keel. It keeps the chemical balance in my brain healthy. So pretty much once I started on lithium, my personality and my brain went back to how it was before I came down with bipolar disorder. So I have a hyperthymic personality. I'm in a state of hyperthymia, which again, continuous levels of mild mania, which give me extra energy, enthusiasm, drive, positivity, and so forth. I'm back in that healthy, balanced state of above average energy because I have above average amounts of dopamine. It is helping me again in my life. It makes me happier, more energetic, more friendly, more extroverted. I make friends easier, and so on and so forth. So it's a plus in my day-to-day life.
Back to while you were in the military and did not yet have this diagnosis, were you aware, even though you didn't have a diagnosis, were you aware of the impact you were having in your life and in your interactions with other people? Or did you not know that there was an issue?
I absolutely did not have an issue. And the thing about my bipolar disorder, the onset was in Iraq, 2003, very, very high for that year. And then it continued to be very high for the next couple years, the next couple assignments. And then my mania started getting higher and higher. And these psychosis started to creep in. And so, but I still didn't feel that there was anything wrong. I didn't see that there was anything wrong in my performance, my behavior, my interactions with other people. In fact, with the mania, I felt fantastic. I felt like I was the smartest person in the world. I thought I was funny and conversational. I thought I had brilliant ideas. I thought I held the keys to world peace. I thought I was a charismatic leader. And so I felt really, really good. And I was, you know, rewarded on my evaluation reports and with two promotions. And so it wasn't really until 2014, the year that I went into full-blown mania, where my boss had to remove me from command. It wasn't until then that people really started noticing that I had, you know, pretty much gone off the deep end, out of control, over the top. But even then, I didn't feel there was anything wrong with me in my behavior. The only time I felt there was something wrong was then over the next 4 months, I spiraled and then crashed into severe depression. And at that point, depression is so different than mania. When I was in that depressed state, then I knew there's something wrong with me because, you know, the dopamine and the chemical balance in my brain shriveled up to where I had, you know, no energy, no enthusiasm, didn't enjoy anything, didn't want to go anywhere, do anything, couldn't make decisions, indecisive, became a hermit. And that's when I said, there is something wrong with me. And I went back into the doctor, and then they were able to connect the dots and say, aha, you have bipolar disorder with psychosis.
Something that I think we really need to work on is how we act and interact with somebody who has a mental health diagnosis. Or even if you have not received a diagnosis, but have something going on, some sort of issue. Because I think what we do is we so easily dismiss a person, or we even just say, you know what, the old man, that two-star general, he's lost it. He's crazy. But I think if we try to spend time getting to know our coworkers and figure out how we can support them, no matter what their issue is, even suicide. That's the biggest thing with suicide. If we can just reach out and say, hey, are you thinking about hurting yourself? Just asking that simple question. But again, whether it's a mental health issue, suicide, whatever it is, we need to be able to show those people grace and not condemnation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, that's where I think education and training throughout not just the military, but our broader society, people should be able to identify the basic symptoms of the most common mental illnesses. And, you know, bipolar disorder's got the manic side and the depressive side. And there's, you know, five or six key indicators or symptoms. And if people were trained on what they were, I think they would have been able to realize that I had bipolar disorder. But back then, and I think still today, I don't think there's much training on bipolar disorder and, you know, in that would enable people to identify it. But if people did identify it, then using the battle buddy system or the peer support system, you know, people should be able to have a frank, candid conversation and say, hey, Greg, I'm seeing these indicators. They match, you know, what I've learned about bipolar disorder. You know, why don't we go together and see the therapist, which I understand now is down at battalion level in the Army, and have a conversation. And then the medical system has to be down to a low level, to the lowest level. It has to be non-threatening. It can't be full of stigma and where people think they're going to get a medical evaluation that's going to get them kicked out of the service or not promoted. And then if they're okay, fine. But if they have a problem, channels. Because the thing about bipolar disorder and most of these other, you know, brain conditions is they can be absolutely destructive and ruin marriages, families, careers, finances. They can end up in addiction, homelessness, incarceration, and death. That's the bad news. If you can get the correct diagnosis from medical professionals and get on the right treatment,
you can live a happy and fulfilled life. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are with Major General Greg F. Martin, an Army Engineer Officer, Airborne Ranger, Commandant of the National Defense University, and so much more. So let's talk about your book, The Bipolar General, My Forever War with Mental Health. When is it coming out? What version is it coming out in? How can I go about getting it?
So it will be, the printed version will be available on the 15th of September, and you can order it wherever books are sold. Easiest place is probably to just go to Amazon and order it online with Amazon.
To learn more about you and your book, how can people get in touch with you? What's your website?
BipolarGeneral, one word, .com, and that'll take you right to it. The Kindle version will come out in the the months following the printed hard copy. It actually takes them longer to do a Kindle version because each of the different computerized platforms has different requirements. So it takes a little longer. And then once they get the electronic version out, then they want to do an audio version, which will be really great. The best way to do it. And if people, you know, want to get a hold of me, just you can reach me through my website. And I would welcome any questions or comments on the discussion that we've had today.
All right. Well, Major General Greg F. Martin, U.S. Army Ranger, retired engineer officer, and a whole list of accolades. Thank you so much for joining me today. And not only today, but even sharing your story previously in a different season of the podcast. I really appreciate you being here, being vulnerable enough to share your story and talk about how things went wrong because of an undiagnosed mental health issue. And then once you retired, you had the strength and the courage to pursue the diagnosis and see what was going on, and then went on that journey of finding yourself in a better place. I think that means a lot, and that's why I use here on the podcast and on the website, you've got metal, because you really do. And that was displayed not only in your career with all of the successes you had, but also that metal, that grit, that fortitude to push forward and make sense of what was going on. And then, you know, the diagnosis, going on that journey of getting the help and the care that you needed. So thanks again for coming out tonight.
Well, thanks, Tiffany. It's really, you know, I feel like it's been a mission, a calling. I know it's going to make difference. It already has made a big difference. I mean, I've published about 25 articles and have given, you know, a lot of talks. And the feedback I get is all positive, very encouraging, and that it's helping people. So I'm happy about that.
Well, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story and sharing about the book and why you've written it.
My pleasure.
Thank you, and have a nice day.